10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Look at you. Look at you sitting there. God, what a slob you are.
Maduro. I just grabbed this guy named Maduro. And suddenly he found out what happens when you F around. Maduro, we just nailed this freaking Maduro, and all his narco-commie friends will soon meet similar ends. Maduro, if I were him, I would really start praying that his execution will be delaying. Maduro, I'll never stop taunting Maduro.
Women in tight uniforms, that's enough, and maggots in the soft ice cream. This is the story, not covered by any news, shockingly ignored. But boy, did it catch my eye, because I have never seen such wacky legal maneuvering. Yes, more than your divorce, more than that lawsuit against your trucking company, two ex-employees sue Trump's New Jersey Golf Club. Women, you're kidding, working at Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey were required to wear, now listen to what they were required to wear at the golf club in New Jersey. Just look at that whole sentence. Trump Golf Club, New Jersey. Dissect that. Trump Golf Club, New Jersey. This isn't about politics. This is about wacky. They were required to wear tight uniforms that were too small and told to smile more as they endured sexist remarks about their bodies and menstruation, according to two lawsuits by former employees. Both complaints describe a similar pattern. A female employee at the Bedminster Club working in a culture hostile to women reported safety issues and was penalized for doing so. A former banquet server who worked at the private club from February until August says she suffered from a retaliation campaign after she reported a manager who spiked the drink of an underage employee with vodka and who was hired as clubhouse manager. She says that she was demoted and ultimately fired in May for reporting health and safety violations, including, listen, maggots and mold in the soft serve machine. Maggots and mold in the soft serve machine. Let's review. You're running a golf club and the snack bar. And the one thing you can't afford, no matter what job you have at that snack bar, at an elite golf club, is bad food. You can't afford mold and maggots in the ice cream machine that is serving soft serve ice cream, unless it's not in use. Maybe the soft serve ice cream was out of order, like at all McDonald's. The special McDonald's soft serve ice cream is designed to never work. Never works. But Here's one at a prestigious golf club. The only reason it could possibly have maggots and mold is if nobody's using it and it's been sitting there too long. No way in hell would that be in use. The nanosecond anybody spotted anything in that ice cream, they'd say, whoa, we can't use this machine. They'd stop. Let's fix this later. There's no way in hell the lowliest waiter, the lowliest waitress, the manager, the vice president of the club, none of them would get near that. Therefore, I don't believe any of that's true. Then, I don't know if you can handle this. This is a golf club, and they hire people who are attractive, men and women who are attractive, because it makes the whole experience more appealing. And they suggested that maybe you want to wear a tight uniform. And the other waiters and waitresses would all tell you the same thing. The tighter the uniform, the higher the tips. Basic waiter-waitress math. And it'd be nice if you smiled at the people paying $50 a drink, $75 for a cheeseburger. It'd be nice if you smiled at them. Again, the bigger your smile, the smaller your uniform, the bigger your tips. Probably these were fellow employees making the suggestion. Nevertheless, two different lawsuits were filed, one about the moldy ice cream machine and the other about this astonishing suggestion in a hospitality industry, breathtaking suggestion, that they wear a tighter uniform and smile more. Now that is a lawsuit worth pursuing. I'd get the top lawyers in New Jersey on that. Vito, Sal, I'd get the top lawyers on that and have them review the entire situation at the golf club in New Jersey.
He will give Paulie 5 carpenter jobs, 2 no-shows and 3 no-works. One of the no-shows our friend in Youngstown keeps, and one he gives to Chrissy here. The others, the no-work jobs, that's for Paulie, how he wants to distribute them.
It is so decreed.
I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I are coast to coast live. Yeah, this is live. Wait, you think I'm going to come in Sunday night and not do a live show? Of course I do a live show. You're working. 18-wheeler, I-90, I-80, the 5, 405, the 4. I know where you are. Thank you for listening. Walter Sterling, grateful for that. 18-wheeler coming home we're in the middle of a long weekend. That's right, tomorrow. Most of America has the day off to salute Martin Luther King Day. If there was ever a worthwhile holiday, that's it. Most of us are off tomorrow. Schools are closed. Post office closed, right? Yeah, it's a federal holiday. Fabulous. We're in the middle of a 3-day weekend. Is that the sweet spot in life? The middle of a 3-day weekend, which means, I woke up late today. I can wake up late tomorrow. Bonus points. Bonus tracks. 16 past the hour. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. When the kids steal my wife's clothes,
it's time to go shopping.
Coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, a medical procedure gone wrong in the UK leaves a woman with uneven boobs. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Florida Stories is about people so dumb, you'll almost wreck your car. I'm James Parker. Florida Stories, still to come on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Cap it, baby. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling Every Damn Night.
This is Matthias Boehm-Bell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies. Live on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. when you're with the Gaffneys. You know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you stories of living in our old house with our eight kids, including our daughters, who wear your clothes a lot.
A lot more often than I would like for them to. And I'll tell you what, I don't mind sharing my clothes. You know that. There's sort of an open closet policy there. But I think the thing that drives me the most crazy is that they will steal so many of my clothes that I don't know where anything is. And I'll be like, you know what? I need to replace those pants. I'll go buy another pair of those. And while they still have the tags on them, they will go in, get them with the tags on them, and then wear them again. And then they disappear into the abyss of the girls' rooms. Or they go out of state because one of our daughters is home. And I didn't pack a whole lot because I know I can borrow it. And it'll get borrowed, you know, which, again, I'm fine with. But then the new things that I replace the old things with, they go missing.
This never happens with the boys, which only means that you must be stylish. You're stylish like a teenager. That's what that means, because the boys are not stealing my Brooks Brothers shirts out of my closet.
I'd like to go back and say not stylish like a teenager, honey. I have style in a classic sort of way. So no matter what, there are pieces that transcend all ages. OK, because stylish like a teenager is never really a good thing. Never a good thing. But the thing is, once it all comes back, you know, they'll get the idea that they're going to clean their room. And mostly what's in their room, my clothes. So they clean their room by bringing back these baskets of clothes that I haven't seen in 18 months.
Yeah.
And then they'll bring all of this stuff back in. Right. And then I'm like, where do I put this? What do I do with this? And soon enough, as soon as I have it all put away, it all disappears again. I go shopping and then we have too much.
And a lot of times you see an outfit you've purchased really for the first time on our daughter.
That's actually, yes, more common than not. I don't know what happens. And then I'll see an outfit and think, oh, well, that looks really nice on you. But I've never worn the outfit. And a lot of times I never get to.
So does this mean we're going shopping again today?
I think we have to go shopping and add to our list garbage bags to get rid of all the things that I have never worn and that are now out of style. And yes, entire new wardrobe is in order for me this afternoon.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, I'll be in my closet or on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling, Sterling, urgent news.
We're live, so we can do urgent news, 24 past the hour. Kentucky and Indiana establish future I-69 bridge tolling body. What? Another step toward construction of a new I-69 toll bridge, Section 2, Kentucky, Indiana. What? There was a meeting that took place January 12th when the Kentucky Public Transportation Infrastructure Authority approved an agreement establishing a what? Bridge toll body. An operating model the states adopted for the Louisville, Indiana, Ohio River Bridge project. They're making committees. The body will develop tolling policies and business rules and set toll rates. Everybody's favorite job. The members, they have a chairman, a designated chairman, Indiana Department of Transportation commissioner, a person designated by the commissioner. The body's first meeting is expected to take place in the near future. Usually these are public. The meetings about tolls and establishing tolls, they're usually public and worth going to. I went to one once and it was breathtaking. I went to a toll meeting for the Lincoln Tunnel or the Holland Tunnel, but one of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey very official meetings, and I was stunned at how many people were there. And I got up and I said, if you want to eliminate, a big issue was how much pollution these wait lines were, how much pollution the tolls caused. I said, you want to eliminate the pollution, eliminate the toll. There will be no trouble if you eliminate the toll. What I cannot get over, there's a trouble there in Indiana, Ohio, for one bridge. They put together, you understand what these crooks have done? They've put together a committee to have multiple meetings, the first one of which has not been determined yet. People from the cabinet, the transportation commissioner, all these very serious people, they're getting together to determine how much the toll should be, right? What I can't get over is the fact that not one elected official has had the balls to stand up in any state in America and say, we have to get rid of the tolls. There's no reason for these tolls. All these clowns, all these criminals, all these crooks, and the two or three honest people who are running for Congress or Senate, whatever the hell it is in a year, they could win easily in any state in America if they stood up and they said, get rid of the tolls. I will fight for you. This is common sense. Oh, that common sense phrase. This is common sense. Why? Because on a daily basis, the only contact you and I have with the government is the Department of Motor Vehicle and the tolls. That's it. Our contact with the government is blessedly rare, brief, and very annoying. But it's brief. But the tolls, every damn day, we have to put up with the toll on the myth that it keeps the road going. As I may have mentioned in the past, the Romans built roads 2,000 years ago that are still used in England, in the northern parts of England, and around Rome. They're used every day. No, there are no tolls. Nobody's needing the money to repair them. The bulk of the money to maintain the roads comes from what? Gasoline taxes, not from the tolls. The money from the tolls is used for the crooked dynamic of having raised bonds in the 50s, 60s, and 70s with the sole purpose of buying concrete. Think it through. With the sole purpose of buying concrete.
For the duration, you will give Paulie 5 carpenter jobs, 2 no-shows, and 3 no-works. One of the no-shows our friend in Youngstown keeps, and one he gives to Chrissy here. The others, the no-work jobs, that's for Paulie, how he wants to distribute them.
It is so decreed.
Why hasn't one elected official stood up and say, I'm getting rid of the tolls? This is stupid. Only one state since the dawn of tolling has gotten rid of the tolls, and that was Connecticut. Connecticut got rid of the Connecticut Turnpike tolls. So much fun. Hey, which movies did well this weekend? Let's find out in Second Sterling every damn Sunday.
They call him Sterling, Sterling, every damn night. No, no one you know makes better radio. And you know Sterling, Sterling is live from the laundry room. If the noise level gets higher, it's probably just the dryer.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
How does it feel to be in California speaking to America? Mateus, boom, boom, Hollywood, how do you feel?
It's thrilling. It's thrilling. It's thrilling. I enjoy this every Sunday night, every damn Sunday night, Walter. And I love that jingle. I see you've embraced the trappings of your studio. And yet, at the outset of the show, you said, here we are, some of us sitting like a slob. And today I feel like one because there you are in your magnificent blue Oxford shirt with a beautiful yellow tie with tastefully spaced stars across the front of this beautiful, looks like a Grosgrain tie, a new iPhone charger. You're ready for anything in that studio.
on Facebook under Walter Sterling. You can see the tie I'm actually wearing right now. It is a, in fact, Vineyard Vines high fashion tie, which puts me in line with every venture capitalist in America. That is the secret uniform of venture capitalists. You know, they don't wear Brooks Brothers anymore or Paul Stewart. They wear Vineyard Vine. That is the secret code among Vineyard Vine venture capitalists.
You heard it here.
Well, again, I'm on the cutting edge of American fashion trends.
I think it's great. And you were talking about box office before the break. Well, let's take a look at that, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Number one movie in the country right now is Avatar: Fire and Ash, which has, on an average, makes
fire in my ass. What'd you say? Fire in my ass.
Avatar, what? Avatar, Fire and Ash.
Oh,
remember, this is a family program at night. $367,410,340 this movie from 20th Century Studios Disney has made. Jim Cameron knows how to make a movie. He knows how to make money. It's been out 32 weeks, and that's how it's managed to get that great aggregate. But it started off with a big bang. Number two in the country right now is Zootopia 2, and that's been out since Thanksgiving, I think about 55 days. That's at about $393 million.
Wow.
And in third place is a horror picture, about this post I can't even say the word, but in the future, this horror movie called 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, and that stars Ralph Fiennes, and that in just 4 days has made $15 million. People like horror movies. I'm not one of them, but that's... that's what I'm going to say. We do have another Ralph Fiennes movie that's out now, Walter, that's pretty good. It's called The Coral, and it's playing more in the art house circuit. It's a BBC movie. I've talked about this briefly, but he plays, it's set in World War I, and he is a great musician, Ralph Fiennes. He is a conductor, and he studied in Germany, except in World War I in England, Germany's not your best friend. So many of the people that have a choral society who have been suffering because all of these chorus boys, people who sing, have gone off to fight the war, and there's just little boys around. There's no one to put this whole thing together. Even the choir director left, so they bring in this German guy begrudgingly. That's the part played by Fiennes as he's trying to make this all work for them to have their yearly concert, and it's really quite charming and a beautifully made film. I liked it quite a bit. So that's called The Coral, and it's playing in theaters across the United States right now.
Now, do you see movies lasting in theaters longer than they used to?
Well, that's an interesting question, because some of the more independent films have a tendency to do that. Certainly film festival titles, like I recently just watched a movie about Twiggy, a documentary about Twiggy, the slender,
must have been a pretty thin story.
Yes, indeed. You turn sideways, you can't see it. Anyway, and so a movie like that's going to go from festival to festival, and so technically it does last longer in theaters because it goes a little bit longer. I mean, Jim Cameron's, of course, proving my whole theory wrong with Avatar: Fire and Ash, because when you've got a hit, you've got a hit, and people just keep coming and keep coming. And his movie Titanic years ago was the same thing. It started fairly strong, but it just people kept coming. It played in some theaters for a whole year. And so it really depends on the title. But in general, first-run movies don't seem to last longer because of the window to the streaming services, which is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, which is causing all of the movie exhibitors to jump up and down, and the National Association of Theater Owners, NATO, is really working hard to try to convince the studios not to send to streaming right away so that the movie industry, the exhibition industry, can continue to survive. So what I'm seeing a lot of is theaters that are the type that I work at all over the state of California, that do repertory programming or bring in special shows or event-based movies, and those do very well as single events, like the work I've been doing with Disney over the course of the year at one theater and outside of San Francisco, or some other foreign or specialty kind of films or bringing back classics seems to bring people back to old classic theaters again. But the mall multiplex with the, you know, the really plain shoebox and the although comfortable seats and sticky floors may be on its way out if these windows keep getting narrower and narrower between the time a movie comes out in theaters and when people can watch it on their iPhone.
Now, Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood, our expert on all things movies, you mentioned that you do work for Disney, right?
Well, I work, it's better to say Disney adjacent. I don't get it. Well, I do get paid, but I introduce a series of films that they have restored in a Bay Area, San Francisco, California, Bay Area theater in Northern California. There's a whole series of these restorations they've worked on over the last 5 years. And this one theater has been selected to show these restorations. And I've been keyed in as the guy to introduce and MC these events. So there you go.
No, it's terrific work. It's a lot of fun. It's something to be envious of. One of the things that I learned when I worked for the AMC chain for a couple of years that surprised me is the economics of their business, which are terrible. And you might surprise, you know this, but I want to share with Misfits that this is kind of surprising. The way it works is the first week that a film is in the theaters, like 90% of that money goes to the movie production company, goes to the company that
That's
made
right.
the... Each week that it's in the theater, the percent slides. So each week
Correct.
It's in the theater, more of the money, more of the receipts go to the theater owner. And the best
Correct.
Way for those theater owners to make money is to keep those movies in the theater a long time. Their dilemma is there's a cross point where, yeah, you can keep it in the theater and it'll be an empty theater. Good luck selling the M&Ms. It's an interesting challenge those theaters have.
Well, and this is why the multiplex theater was born. There are multiple screens in there of varying different sizes, and the films that perform well that are there on 4 or 5 or 6 weeks are moved to the theater auditorium where the audience demands it be, and the latest thing coming in is put in the larger one so that they can move people very strategically around their candy counter, because that's really the only way that theaters makes money, which is exactly why you're paying an arm and a leg for a bucket of popcorn today, because the theater operator is only going on 10% of the ticket on a new movie in its first week. And so the only way they can pay to operate the joint and pay their kids that work there and their insurance and all those other matters is from only 10% of the ticket is not going to work. They need that concession revenue. So movie
and
exhibitors today are concessionaires.
Exactly. And the ultimate profit item in any movie theater is, do you know what?
Well, I'm going to say popcorn and or soda.
The butter.
There you go.
The butter on the popcorn is the ultimate. Now, here's your final trivia question. Boom, boom, in Hollywood. Most theater owners have one thing in common with all other theater owners.
Okay.
Their parents were theater owners.
Yes, there seems to be a lot of that. It's a family business.
It's a family business. It's a knowledge passed down and a passion passed down from families. How do I find you online, Boom Boom?
At Matias Bumballs Hollywood on Facebook, Walter, and that's at MATIASBOMBAL apostrophe S, Hollywood on Facebook. Thanks so much.
Sterling every damn Sunday
Sterling
night.
Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, a medical procedure gone wrong in the UK leaves a woman with uneven boobs. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Florida Stories is about people so dumb, you'll almost wreck your car. I'm James Parker. Florida Stories still to come on Sterling every damn night.
Cap it, baby. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Lesbians in space. Sterling every damn night.
Pop quiz. Who were the greenest presidents in U.S. history? The Bushes. Get it? Because
bushes are green.
Sterling every damn night from sea to shining sea.
Walter M. Sterling, good evening. It's a live radio show, 51 past the hour, driving across the country tonight. You and me, look at that sky. Look at that snow. Ay, yay, yay. If you're impacted by the snow, I want to hear from you. I want to hear about real messes. Here's my number, live, 855-839-1210. Call in anytime you're annoyed by the snow. Anytime. 855-839-1210. This is the purpose of radio. And now look at this. I get an email. I get a text from Father Jim Drucker who says, I can't get this is such an annoying problem. You've had this problem. You don't admit it, but it's true. I can't get volume on my phone. Apple updated to a new iOS. It's confusing. Give everyone my love on air. I'm still healing. Let's try for Wednesday. Please forgive me. Why would I have to forgive a Catholic priest? They're in the job of forgiving me, Walter Sterling. That would be their job, even though 23andMe says, I'm a Jew. But the priest here says, I can't get volume on my phone. Apple updated to a new iOS. It's confusing. Give everyone my love on air. Father Drucker, there's everyone getting your love. I'm still healing. He had a terrible flu. Okay, now listen. It's funny Father Drucker should bring this up. 2 days ago, my phone is telling me, update, update, do an update. Stop now. Stop everything you're doing and update. Get the latest version. And I did not. I clicked do later or skip now or whatever. I'm telling you, you know what it's like? Updating an iPhone, updating an Android phone is like foot surgery. People who have trouble with their feet, accessorily naviculars, plantar fasciitis, you know, all those fun things. At some point, a podiatrist, an orthopedic surgeon, will say to them, you really should have surgery. And at some point, they break down and they do it. And they get foot surgery. I want you to go through your brain and think about everybody you know who has gotten foot surgery. Maybe you only know one person. Maybe it's you. Has that gone well? Can you name one person who has had foot surgery and they're thrilled that they got enough Percocet? Oh, they couldn't get Percocet? Oh, gee. And what did they get? Ibuprofen. How'd that work out? Lousy. And when did the cast come off? Gee, you know, it was a good 2 months after they said the cast would come off. And there they are sitting at home, getting fatter after foot surgery. What could be worse than putting more weight in the body to land on that foot 3 months after foot surgery? I know nothing. Nothing could be worse. Nothing. It never goes well. Updating the iPhone never goes well. If you ever made the mistake of updating the iPhone operating system, or you know somebody who is still hiding under the bed after having updated the iPhone operating system, you know what I'm talking about. You know I'm not making this up. This isn't pretend. I have never updated the iPhone ever. I've had from my friend Bob gave me the first iPhone. Boy, he had some scam going. He gave me the first iPhone, and it was very sweet. But Bob's rich, and on the day of the first iPhone, where there were lines and lines and lines around stores that had the new iPhone, he managed to get me a new iPhone. And I said, how did this happen? And he said, no, I got Joe stood in line for me and da-da-da-da-da. I said, you made Joe stand in line for you to get an iPhone? No, Walter, I paid Joe to stand in line to get a new iPhone for us. That was the end of that conversation. But never had, just like foot surgery or maybe even back surgery, never has it gone well to update the operating system on an iPhone. The pictures, I can't find any of my favorite pictures. My texts all got erased. The volume doesn't work. The priest here can't find the volume. And he's not like a normal priest. He's a radio priest. He was a big deal disc jockey for years before he became a priest. He knows about knobs. The man knows how to operate knobs. It's not a problem for him like it is for you. Nonsense. No, it never goes well. Has it ever gone well for you updating the iPhone? I want to hear. Let's do therapy on this. I will be your therapist. I'll yell at them together with you. Here's the number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Let's talk about the horrors of updating the phone, or even more interesting, the horrors of foot surgery. You look at these Facebook groups, people getting arch surgery, accessory navicular surgery, flat-footed surgery, toenail surgery. It never goes well. They're all like, well, I didn't think it'd go this poorly, Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Like so many other things that I know you do, it's best that you listen to this show alone. Sterling. Seven past the hour, driving coast to coast, Walter M. Sterling. I'm so sick. I'm listening to these commercials. You've heard these commercials for Ethos life insurance. Your family deserves affordable life insurance coverage, right? And I'm Whitney Allen. She's always saying she's Whitney Allen. I'm Whitney Allen. And wait, you want me to do it right? All right, here, let's do it right. Give me a second here. I want you to hear what I'm talking about so that there's no confusion even with you, with your many limitations. Come on, do it. Ah, darn. This shouldn't be that hard. My life's so difficult. Why is my life so difficult? Here we go. Listen to this.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance.
All right. I'm so sick that I've heard her say, I'm Whitney Allen. In my waspy world view, and I'm not a wasp, but I have seemed to have gotten a waspy world view from my country club parents. I'm like, well, Whitneys usually are hot. Like, I wonder if this Whitney Allen is real in the Ethos commercials. And I wonder if she's hot. Now, how sick is that? Here's a widow selling life insurance, prompted by the death of her husband, way too young. And Walter Sterling is going online during news breaks, looking up what Whitney Allen looks like.
Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay her mortgage and have food in the fridge.
I'm like, I wonder what Whitney Allen looks like. I mean, yeah. And you can apply for life insurance with Ethos in 10 minutes. And Whitney Allen explains all this to me. But I'm guilty of believing that certain names have power that are attractive. Courtney's, I've never known a Courtney that wasn't cute as hell. Megan's, very attractive, always. But here's Whitney. Now, Whitney is next level. In my public high school, there were no Whitneys. I was very much a Karen, Barbara, Sally high school. There were no Whitneys. There were no Morgans. Tiffany was a stripper name. That was not a classy name, especially if it didn't have a Y at the end. You think it through. But Whitney, I don't know how to speak of a widow like this, but that's a premium name. Whitneys are cotillion girls. Whitneys have the gold ankle bracelet. You know what I'm talking about. That thin gold ankle bracelet. An anklet. What's hotter than an anklet on a tan leg? The Jersey Shore, Santa Monica, South Florida. That perfect tan that you can only get in America. They don't have good tans. I'm telling you, in Europe, tans suck because those are terrible beaches. Those are rocky, nasty beaches. No one talks about that. Yeah, I'm going to go to Monaco. Well, good luck at that beach. Let me know how it tears open your foot. Luxury problems. Is that the ultimate luxury problem? That's right up there with the power windows on the Porsche are broken. You walk on the beach in Monaco and you bust up your foot. But wait, you're in Monaco. It balances out. There's compensation for busting, but it's an all rock beach. The beach in Monaco, those beaches are 100% rock beaches. The beaches in Nice are rock beaches. I'm trying to think if there's any place in Europe that has a sandy, nice beach that you would think of. The places you're going to find sandy, nice beaches are here. Florida, Sea Isles, Georgia, California. I went to South Padre Island once. I had a terrible time. So I don't even remember what that beach was like. That was what a crappy day that was. And the Jersey Shore. Now I'm looking up pictures of Whitney Allen, the spokeswoman for Ethos, who tragically lost her husband, I'm sorry, and has a kid, and she had Ethos insurance, thank goodness, and I'm so perverted, I'm so sick. And I went, wait a minute, what does Whitney Allen look like? She sounds kind of hot, and her name is Whitney. She probably had a coming out ball. She probably had a cotillion. She probably had a cotillion. Her name is Whitney. I think it's a law. She had to have gone to Smith or Bard or Barnard, right? Or what's the one? Where did my wife go? Sarah Lawrence. Sarah Lawrenson. That's where she had to have gone. Whitney had to have gone to Sarah Lawrenson. And there I am. I'm so sick. I'm looking her up. Ethos Insurance. There, Ethos. You got 1,000 minutes there for free. Walter M. Sterling, it's 1113 in America. And I have a phone number. You didn't remind me. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Roger in Bryn Mawr. Welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling, I'd like to take my hat off to you, sir. The fact that you're willing to reach out to Whitney in her time of need like that shows what a good man you really are. A stand-up individual to go seek out a woman who's vulnerable and who could use a strong man such as yourself. Hats off to you, sir. But that's not why I called.
Oh. Go ahead.
I called because of the weather.
Yes, tell me about the weather in... I want to know about the weather in Bryn Mawr. If you're confronting snow, I'd love to hear about snow.
It's making me angry. Like, honest to God, I'm a pretty happy, good-lucky guy. I go out now, and I get physically angry like it's a personal insult, the cold. I was in a restaurant tonight, and there were two kids, like 9, 10 years old, running around a little bit. Not being really obnoxious, but they're having a good time. And I literally go, what are you so happy about? Like, it's making me miserable.
And what they say, what did they...
And there you are, and you're looking to hold Wendy and coddle her, and I just think, you know what? There's still good left in this world.
Anything I could do for a widow?
I think, you know what? I think you're a good man. I don't care what anybody says.
Roger, I know you're a good man. Suffer through the snow. Listen to Sterling every damn Sunday. Thank you very much for calling. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I want a weather report from you. Where are you? Roger in Bryn Mawr reporting in. Midnight Misfits across the country reporting in on the weather as you and I explore the life of Whitney Allen. Just the worst human being on earth. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling!
In the epicenter, the lobster meat of a 3-day holiday weekend. Congratulations, you made it. You have a 3-day holiday weekend. And here we are in the very middle of it with Clayton in Clinton, Missouri. Welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Hi, Clayton.
How you doing?
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, let me tell you.
Well, I had foot surgery. I took a ladder fall and blew both of my heel bones apart.
Oh, you poor man. Oh, God.
And I couldn't believe it. I'm lying in the emergency room, and the orthopedic surgeon's telling my friends that I'm never going to walk again. Mm. And if I do walk, I'm going to have a horrible limp for the rest of my life. Mm. And I told him, hey, don't be telling them that. You're frightening them. Right, like, you don't know me. You don't know what I'm capable of.
Right.
And so they did the left foot first, and I had to wait a week on the right foot because the bone stayed inside the heel, and if the swelling was too big, if they operated, they couldn't close it back up. And so I spent a month in the hospital and then 3 months crawling on my hands and knees like a dog. Talk about a character-building experience. Try that.
And how are you now?
I walk just fine, but apparently I'm like one in a million. After the 3 months, he said that I could walk again. So I went in my wheelchair to his office, and he goes, okay, nurse, get out the we need a long pair of crutches. He's pretty tall. I said, no crutches. He said I could walk after 3 months of crawling. I'm walking out of here. And
yes.
He says, okay. Walk down the end of the hallway and turn around and come back. And I did that, and the pain level was
an 11.
Way up there.
Yeah, an 11. So what did they give you? Did they give you Percocet?
No, Darvocet.
Well, that's not bad. That's good. I love these idiots who think that ibuprofen is going to work on major surgery like this. It's incredible what's happened. This entire Puritan ethic about pain medicine is criminal. You're in pain. It's surgery. It's not a party. You're not getting a party drug. You're getting medicine. And it just became demonized to a degree that you know, grandma's stuck in bed with her arthritis because no one will give her pain medicine. And but you are my hero, Clayton. Congratulations for being able to walk. Good for you.
My brother just committed suicide because they would not give him pain medicine. He had horrible shoulder problems, and they wanted to do an operation. Then they would give him pain medication instead of giving him the medication so he didn't have to have the surgery. And that was just ridiculous. And the surgery was like, well, it's not really going to do anything, you know. But what I couldn't believe is when my orthopedic surgeon told me after I'd recovered, he said, well, you might not believe this, but over half of my patients who had injuries around the same as yours, maybe some a little less, never get out of the chair. I go, a wheelchair? He says, yes. I go, I couldn't believe that.
No, I can believe it. Clayton, I have a question for you. I want you to listen to me carefully. I want you to listen to me carefully. What is your brother's first name?
Douglas.
Douglas was the victim of genocide. This is a campaign on the part of American medicine to keep people in pain for reasons you and I can't even imagine. The story you told me about Douglas taking his own life because he couldn't get a 50-cent pill. Those are 50-cent pills, those Percocets. If you bought them retail, it would be 50 cents a piece. And they won't prescribe them because they imagine that it was going to get Douglas addicted. No, you don't understand. Douglas was not going to run to the bad neighborhood to get more drugs. He just needed to be able to go.
76 years old, I don't think so.
He was not going to run to the bad neighborhood. He just needed to go to the bathroom.
And they wanted the money from the surgery. That's what they wanted.
Well, and also the great listen to me. Also, they wanted the money from the greatest scam there is, which is the pain management program. The pain management program, which cost hospitals nothing What's in a pain management program? You go there once a month or once a quarter, and you get an ablation surgery in your shoulder, and it's 100% profit. They're, you know, it costs them nothing. What's in a pain management? Magazines. That's what's there. Magazines. I'm going to say a prayer, as are other Midnight Misfits tonight, Clayton, for your brother Douglas. I'm really glad you told me that. Thank you for telling me that. Thank you for calling Sterling every damn Sunday night. It's 25 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. It is just, it is multi-layered, the hell that American medicine is determined to put people who suffer from chronic pain through. It is stunning what American medicine wants to put people with permanent shoulder dislocation, with cancer, with incredible orthopedic problems in their feet and their knees. And it's unbelievable, because most of these problems could be solved with Valium or Percocet. Now you're thinking, well, Walter, which one do you want? Nothing. I am blessed. I am a lucky man. I do not have chronic pain. But I know too many people who do, and I know that 20 years ago, they'd be at work, driving, functioning, taking care of their kids, taking care of their toddlers, running after their toddlers, with a Percocet now and then when they needed it, with a Valium now and then when their back was spasming and causing them crippling pain, a back spasm. Good luck to you. And, well, you take some ibuprofen. No, that isn't going to be working. Oh, yeah, take some Tylenol. No, that isn't going to be working. Valium, Vicodin, Percocet. I'm not a doctor. I'm saying that these are facts I've heard all my life. And then all of a sudden, about 20 years ago, American medicine decided to demonize these drugs. First of all, there's no money in it for them. These have been on the market so long. These are 50-cent pills, 20-cent pills. There's no money in it, but there's huge money in pain management clinics in these hospitals. I'm like, wait, what do you mean pain management clinics? And people who have chronic pain, arthritis, shoulder spasms, back spasms, they, in order to get any relief, and it's not full relief, any relief, they have to sign away their life saying, no, I won't get any Percocet. No, I won't go to a different pain clinic. No, I won't shop for doctors. No. I'm going to stay in pain. And I'll get a little relief a couple times a year at your pain management clinic. And I'll go in there and I'll get a little ablation, which hurts like hell. Explain to me exactly how causing more pain relieves pain. Get back to me on that, doctor. Get back to me on that. How does causing more pain relieve pain? Mysteries. Those are mysteries. And then the person who loves you sits out there for an hour or two or three waiting to take you home, and you're out of it. You're stoned and useless the rest of the day because you got to sleep the rest of the day. It takes people with chronic pain out of the stream of life that could be managed with Valium, Percocet, Vicodin. They don't need to go through that hell. But what do those hospitals get? 100% profit. Pain management clinic costs nothing. What do you think's in there? Beds and magazines. And apple juice. Do you want an apple juice? You want a cranberry juice now? You can go home now. Do you have your ride? Is your ride here? That's their idea of pain management. Is your ride here? Two people tied up for a day that could be functioning and in the stream of life with Valium and Percocet. Not a doctor. It's not for everybody. But neither is a pain management clinic. Walter M. Sterling, here's my phone number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And I have a spectacular website, which you need to do if you want to be a Midnight Misfit and get your Midnight Misfit membership card, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, on a Sunday night across America, every damn Sunday.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough, JV Bakery. So Leah and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Selena, marketing director of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and Steve, owner of JB Bakery and baker and creative font at JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. Do you have snow?
Lots of snow. I just got done with a snowblower and throwing salt down. I had to do it multiple times, and you know what? It just stopped, but apparently it's going to ice over pretty good, so stay off the roads. You know, hopefully you got some donuts and some cookies and you're snuggled in the warm, you know, you got the thermostat. What's the official thermostat for snow days, Walter?
What?
What's like the official temperature that you should have your thermostat on? You're always talking about the thermostat. The
70.
Temperature, how,
70.
Nah, I got 73.
That's fine. What I don't understand are people who have it at 66 or 67 and use, oh, no, we have blankets. No, you have a furnace. Use the furnace. It's 2026. But what's disturbing, Steve, is despite the many conversations, somehow you feel that for a bakery on Facebook, a video of you shoveling snow and plowing snow is appetizing for buying donuts. What's that about?
Actually, I have to take credit for that one. Right. Unfortunately, that was my idea because I thought it was funny that he was out there doing that. I did take that video in the middle of filming videos of myself doing other much more interesting things. So those videos are up on TikTok, but also going to be up on Instagram and Facebook shortly. I believe I have them scheduled for a few hours from now. But while I was filming the more important videos of me, I did think that I would take a moment to take a video of Steven shoveling everything, which surprisingly did very well on Instagram.
Selena, what are these important videos of you?
Well, most importantly, me dipping biscotti in a hot drink. I think that's very important. I found this funny Italian music that was like a trending sound, so I used that. And I did another one with a whale cookie, and there's, I think, one where I show my secret trick, my bakery hack. Everybody loves a good cannoli. I love cannoli, but, you know, you could just eat the cannoli shell, and that's great and everything, but I have a secret hack. You know, I don't always just eat the cannoli shell. I love butter cookies, so what I do is I take two butter cookies, and I sandwich them together with the cannoli cream, so I get butter cookie flavor and cannoli all in one instead of just the cannoli shell. It's so much more fun.
That's a brilliant idea. Have you come up with a name for it, and could you put it in the display case?
You know, I don't have an official fun name. I do have to think of something that would be catchy. I've always just called it my cookie sandwich, my Selena's cookie sandwich. And yeah, I mean, we could put it in the display case, but I always think they're better fresh filled. So, you know, just take them out of the case and fill them right there in front of the customer.
It really is the best idea I've heard coming out of your bakery in the time that we've been talking to each other. Are you open tomorrow, Martin Luther King Day?
Yeah, I'm open tomorrow. There's special deals, too.
Tell me, what are the special deals?
We got some special deals. Basically, like, I made a lot of extra donuts for tomorrow because I want everybody to get, you know, a good deal. So discounted donuts, and also if they spend like a certain amount of, you know, $30, if you spend $30, you get 4 free donuts.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
What's the hottest donut right now? What is selling best right now?
Boston Cream is always a top notch because the JB Boston Cream was one of the donuts that got rated top by Josh Food and Stuff for New Jersey 2025. So he rated the Boston Cream as one of his favorites. He also likes the jelly. And my personal favorite is the vanilla cream donut with white powder. That's what I had after I did all that machine work out front, the snow blower and everything. I had to work up an appetite so I could have, you know, powder cream donut.
After anybody does snow shoveling, they deserve whatever donut they want. Now, one of my concerns is that too many people you're a young man. I want to make it clear to Midnight Misfits, Steve is a young man. But there's a line that no man in America should cross in terms of his age and continue shoveling. The reason there are high school football players is to shovel your walk. The reason that there are people who are on high school football teams specifically is to shovel your walk. Give those kids the work. If you're over a certain age, and you know what the age is, young man, if you're over a certain age, you know you are not supposed to be shoveling. Because even though, yes, you can handle it, and yes, you can do it, I'm not talking about you, Steve, but I've seen too many guys who think they're on the high school football team. They're out there shoveling without enough coat on, without enough headgear on. They always think they can do it without anything on their heads, which is the first sign of stupidity. And then, son of a gun, 18 hours later, they're in the ER with a heart attack because you're not supposed to be doing it. You're not supposed to be shoveling snow unless you exercise every damn day, and you don't. Look at you. You're a slob. You're a mess. Don't even try. Hire the kid. What's it cost to get a kid to shovel your walk in your driveway? Between $25 and $35, depending on how poor your neighborhood. That's all, versus a heart attack for $150,000. Is this good advice, Steve?
I think it's great advice, but however, I don't know. I think, you know what, even though they play high school football, I think they're a little weak. I think these kids got to step up a notch. I had nobody knocking at my door, nobody offering. I had none of my guys that actually worked for me say, hey, I'm a high school football player. I could easily, you know, do the snow blower and shovel for you and put salt down, even if you give me some extra money. And nope, not a phone call, not anything. That's why I had to take it upon myself. I'm sorry, America. These kids got to step it up a notch. They're a little weak. I'm telling you, Walter, we got a weak high school society around here.
No, I know you well enough to know that you wouldn't do it if it was stupid. And I wasn't referring to you at all. I'm just talking about this weird phenomena that I have seen in my neighborhood over the years. People, even weirder. This is even weirder. I know households where there's a husband, wife, teenager, and the wife's out there doing the shoveling. I'm like, what? No.
That's preposterous.
Unbelievable. Etiquette rule number one, chivalry rule number one, is your wife does not mow the lawn and your wife does not shovel the snow. And if any wife has done that, unless her husband has a medical condition, it's grounds for divorce.
That's why I had Selena do a TikTok video of me, and it got like 10,000 views within the first hour.
Congratulations on that. How does somebody get in touch with you? What's the name of the Facebook page?
It's JB Bakery Burlington. And Selena, what's a TikTok? I don't even know.
TikTok is just at Baker Boy Steve.
Does Steve know what a fit check is, Selena? Does he know what a fit check is?
I mean, he should. We've been together long enough. If he's not up to date on some old slang like fit check, I mean, that's been around almost as long as 2016. I mean, he's got to know what a fit check is at this point.
Selena, Steve the baker. Oh, do you have a recipe for us tonight, Steve?
The ultimate classic is the Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookie recipe. This is the one that is perfect for a snow day. If you're out there, hopefully people get to go sledding. They're going to want to come in and have some chocolate chip cookies. The darker the chocolate chip, the more of a misfit you are. And like I said, always put a little bit of salt when they come out of the oven. And it'll bring out the wonderful taste and aroma of the chocolate chip cookie, the Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookie that they can get from you, Walter.
Send me a note, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, that you want the Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookie, and I'll send you that recipe instantly before the end of the show, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Sterling every night.
Hey, Walter. This
week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective. A woman who spent over $20,000 on a boob job has been left with different size boobs after her breast implant started leaking a green fluid. Lisa Hart, 45 years old, was feeling unhappy with her body after 5 children and wanted to tidy herself up. Believing everyone was staring at her size 36E boobs, Lisa booked a breast reduction and reconstruction at a clinic in Glasgow, Scotland for $20,000. She underwent the knife for 4-hour surgery in May of 2025, but a week later noticed green fluid leaking onto her bandages from her right breast. Lisa was also experiencing fever-like symptoms and continued to raise her concerns to the clinic for about a month, but claimed she was ignored. Finally, she went to the hospital in June of 2025, where doctors told her it was septic and there was no choice but to remove the right implant. The mother of 5 has been left with different sized boobs, her right a B cup and her left a C cup, but has no choice to return to the same clinic that she had surgery to fix the size difference because no one else will touch her. She now wants to use her experience to warn other women to be cautious about going under the knife for a boob job. You hear all these horror stories, but never thought it would happen to me, she said in Glasgow. Lisa decided to fork out $20,000 on UK-based treatments, which could have been half the price in Turkey, thinking she was in the best of care. After a couple of days, the skin on her breast began to split, and a hole appeared below her nipple. It was hell, she said. During this time, Lisa said she reportedly tried to contact the clinic to perform the procedure, but her pleas kept falling on deaf ears for weeks, and she claimed that nothing seemed to help. Desperate for help, Lisa went to our university. Within seconds, doctors took a swab of her right breast, which confirmed Lisa had sepsis, and decided the implant needed to come out. Lisa stayed in the hospital for 10 days, but instead of getting better, she was left with one fuller boob. Lisa says her boobs have at least one cup size difference between them. With no current plans in place to fix her boob, she wants to use her experience to warn other women to be more diligent when it comes to going under the knife, and for clinics to be held accountable for her actions. You know, I get that people want to improve the way they look. People go for dental implants, they go for facelifts, they go for liposuctions. But the bottom line is, any surgery or any procedure can be dangerous, especially cosmetically. Don't go to foreign countries to get these things done, and unless you absolutely need to get something done, stay home. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
Sterling every damn night. Yeah, that's right. Sterling every damn night.
Walter M. Sterling. It's 52 past the hour. Gleason's Roofing. Our dear Midnight Misfits at Gleason's Roofing has asked for the Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookie recipe. That's going out immediately. Peter Hook, Patty Knoll in Kansas City, Missouri, has asked for the Midnight Misfit cookie, and I'm happy to send it to her because I know she doesn't fit in. She doesn't fit in. And Michael Richman, who is my hero, why? Because Michael Richman, who is not 30, decided to go back to college, and he's not 40, and I don't think he's 50. But he has led a life of courage every damn day. Michael Richman is courageous. Man was born with birth defects, overcame them, productive life, hit a certain age and said, you know what, I'm going to go back to college. And he is. Charlie Huff, Aaron Passabet. Aaron Passabet. Did I get that right, Aaron? I bet I did. Aaron Passabet and Gleason's Roofing all want their chocolate chip cookie recipe, and they will get it within seconds. And then all I ask is, let me know how it is. I want to know how it is. From JB Bakery, he makes these really interesting recipes. That's why I want you to get them, because they're not just, you know, normal, annoying newspaper recipes. These are different. They're special. Richard Lucas, Midnight Misfit. Oh, yeah, I had music for this. I wanted to say hello to our Midnight Misfits, but you got to listen to this. This is so stupid. Listen.
Are you bad, Johnny? Have you been bad with girls?
Johnny, have you been bad with girls? This great piece of music from an absolutely miserable movie. Mario in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Karen Schwartz, St. Louis, Missouri. KMOX, Ted Cohn, Richboro, Pennsylvania. These are our Midnight Misfits. Lee Harvey, South Portland, Maine. WGAN, thank you very much, Phil Zachary. We love you. Benin Plaskin, Malika Hill, New Jersey. Keith Mortensen, South Florida, formerly of Bucks County. Johnny Harrison, Audubon, New Jersey. Sean Conway, Norwood, Pennsylvania. Nick Thomas, Jonathan and Suzanne Thompson, Rochester, Minnesota. Richard Galarno, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, KDKA. Joel Tuckman from Philadelphia. These are our Midnight Misfits. If you'd like to be recognized as an official Midnight Misfit, go to the webpage, Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show. Download the official Midnight Misfit membership card, and I will then have your name. And then we can bond over the radio. Everybody should have their name on a 50,000-watt station. I'm seriously thinking about doing a birthday club, an adult birthday club. You know, Sally, who's 9 and entering kindergarten, well, those were great on TV when you were a kid. But now, wouldn't it be great to have a birthday club for us? And now Frank is 48 years old. Congratulations on having a 12-year-old. I think we need to do that. I know you think so, too. I love this song. I have always loved this piece of music, as have you. It was the theme, which, by the way, was not used as the theme for this horrible movie, A Summer Place. Just terrible. Terrible about mean parents keeping the cute... Who was it? Sandra Dee? Was it Sandra Dee? Yeah, believe me, way before my time and yours. Listen to what Sandra said when finally she gets to be alone with Johnny.
Are you bad, Johnny? Have you been bad with girls?
Johnny. It's the cheesiest... When bored... You can get it on YouTube, I'm sure. You want to see A Summer Place, which is better than the third season of The White Lotus. Have you seen, did you watch The White Lotus? The first season on HBO was terrific.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Hey, wake up, you, buddy.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, David's not.
Live radio, it's actual live radio, 7 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling on a Sunday night. Dave Scott, did you see the movie A Summer Place? Did you see that movie?
I have not. I apologize.
All right, listen to this. Listen to this.
Are you bad, Johnny? Have you been bad with girls?
Johnny. Best movie music, the worst movie you've ever seen. Absolutely terrible movie with Sandra Dee. And I think it's, I'd have to look. I've tried to forget it, but the music's great, right? Best theme ever. And it's a terrible movie about Sandra Dee and some boy who her parents do not approve of. Her very, very rich parents do not approve of. And the movie is about them rebelling against her very rich parents. Needless to say, it came out in 1955.
Interesting. No, I've never heard about that.
Now, did you watch the HBO series The White Lotus?
We don't get HBO up here in Canada.
And is there a reason for that? Is that because of Moses Neimer or the Chum Group blocking it?
No, I would probably say it has something to do with tariffs. No, honestly, I really don't know why we've never got HBO up here. There's a bunch of them. Like, I don't get Peacock Channel. You know, right. There's a bunch of channels that I don't get up here.
Wow. This is Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio. Spaced Out Radio is a national show in Canada every night covering UFOs, Bigfoot, monsters, metaphysics, time travel, and praying mantis men. Men who look like praying mantis. No, he's repeated the story twice now, so I guess it's true. And Dave Scott gives us an update every damn Sunday on all of these very important topics. What do you have for us tonight, Dave Scott?
Well, we have one that could potentially blow your mind tonight, Mr. Sterling.
Yes, yes, thank God. Yes.
I know we're only in January, but this weird story has jumped into the UFO world the last couple of days since we last talked. And it comes from a British documentary filmmaker named Mark Christopher Lee, who, coincidentally, I just had him on my show a couple of months ago. And he has made an astonishing claim through his alleged sources in the UK that President Trump is preparing to deliver what he calls the most important announcement in human history during the 2026 World Cup of Soccer. Now, apparently, Washington insiders confirmed this. Now, do I believe it? I'm struggling to believe it. But that announcement is going to come down that Donald Trump is going to confess that the United States government allegedly knows about extraterrestrial life. Now, why on July 8th? Well, that just happens to be around the same time in 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico, that a flying disc was found in the desert. And, of course, it was taken by the United States Army Air Force at that time. It was confiscated, and they told everybody it was a weather balloon. But apparently Trump is allegedly ready to break the news in the nation while the World Cup is watching with all eyes on North America, you know, for the World Cup. Billions of people will be watching soccer, and apparently he feels this is the right time to make this happen. Now, do I believe that this is going to happen? No, I do not. I think it's a way more complex subject than what we are talking about. But according to Mark Christopher Lee, the filmmaker says it's not a drill. This is not speculation. It's a real deal. And the date apparently is no coincidence. Now, something like this, when you make an extraordinary claim, you should have extraordinary evidence. You know that as a journalist. And I know that as well, you know, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. If it does, it also comes into coincidence a couple weeks after Steven Spielberg's new movie called Disclosure Day will come out talking about UFO disclosure. Of course, that is a science fiction movie. Many people, even though it's not labeled as such, are claiming that it is the finally, we are getting a sequel to Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I would love to be able to say that, but Spielberg is not. I don't know. How do you feel about this? Do you think Trump will actually come out on July 8th and say aliens are here?
I think you said the magic word, Steven Spielberg. It seems to be amazingly forgotten that for years, the number one Nielsen television show in America was hosted by Donald Trump. The Apprentice and the Celebrity Apprentice, he hosted for years. Top 10, often number one television show in America. He's a TV star. The man knows about entertainment, timing, pacing, how to get attention. Yes, I believe Donald Trump is going to make that announcement, and I believe he's going to make that announcement on film at the end of every one of Spielberg's showings.
That would make sense. That would completely make sense if he does. The problem is the ramifications. And look, I'm not trying to insult Donald Trump or anything like that, but sometimes I wonder how in depth he goes with the ramifications of what happens. There is a lot of drawback to this that the United States government would have to be prepared for. Okay, and that is, what kind of proof are they going to bring? Or is it just going to be President Trump saying it from the Oval Office or in front of the podium?
He needs to do. He doesn't need any other proof. That's all he needs to do. Now, the Spielberg film, like Close Encounters, will further condition the American population to accept this reality and how to deal with it. Because please consider the fact that once he finally released all of the Kennedy assassination files, nothing happened. And the reason nothing happened is the secret that it revealed was that the CIA knew about Lee Harvey Oswald long before the murder. Well, what's the big deal about that? Oh, yeah. You see, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, that would have been a huge deal. That would have been a huge betrayal on the part of our government to know the assassination, the assassinator of the president of the United States. It was a non-event. Why was it a non-event? Because, that's the sort of thing they'd do. We had gotten to the point where it was rubbed down to the point where, that's the sort of thing the CIA would do. And we had been conditioned over that possibility for documentary after documentary after documentary for decades. And finally, when it was released, and any president in the past few years could have done it, nothing happened because, that's what the CIA does. And the same thing's going to be with this. He will announce it. Oh, yeah, we've heard about them at Area 51. We've heard about it. We've heard about it for 50 years. It's been in every document. It owns the History Channel. I think the conditioning is at the point where, we believe that.
Well, you know what? I think there is a lot more to it, though. Like, I remember talking to people that one of the big concerns is what happens to religious people. People who go to church every Sunday because anything that comes from the sky is considered bad. Okay? We also look at the financial implications. What's it going to do to Wall Street? If you remember what happened during the pandemic, people were rushing to grocery stores to hoard toilet paper, hoard meat, people buying 10 gallons of milk at a time just because they were afraid this might be their last milk, not realizing that milk goes bad after 8-9 days. There was a lot of silliness and stupidity in part for society during that time. And this could actually enact some kind of stupidity again.
Stupidity is always available. The great late Eric Von Däniken explained, how does this fit in with traditional religion? And he said, this makes God bigger. This makes God bigger. And I think that might be what happened. How do I find you, Dave Scott? How do we find you on social media?
You can always find me at spacedoutradio.com, or you can look at us on social media on X at Spaced Out Radio, YouTube Spaced Out Radio, Instagram Spaced Out Radio Show.
Sterling every damn Sunday night.
Go into a strip club. The job of the dancers is to allow you to become enchanted with them, fall in love with them, or at least lust, as they collect and bring in more money for them and, of course, their bosses. And London Roberts is one of the great strippers of all time in the Washington, D.C. community. She ended up meeting a feller in the Champagne Room named Hunter. And Hunter and her had a torrid affair. Torrid! And Hunter impregnated London. And, of course, Hunter is Hunter Biden. And London is the dancer. And they have this cute little girl they made. Yes, Maury Povich was called. The DNA test came in positive. This kid's a Biden. And the complete lawsuits over this is the Biden family demanded that this sweet little girl with a stripper mama never carried the last name of Biden. So apparently Hunter is in arrears on what he's supposed to be paying for that sweet little moment of joy. Shall we say it was a sex prize? A sex prize! Cute little girl that Hunter never speaks with and has nothing to do with. Neither does Joe, Mr. I'm the best family man ever, Biden, who doesn't even acknowledge he has a little granddaughter, a sweet little granddaughter. So, London Roberts says that she wants to put Hunter in jail. If Hunter doesn't pay, you know, jail time may be on the way. In many states, if you fall behind on your child support, you are very likely to go to jail. So that's why prophylactics are good. If you're going to have a romantic rendezvous with a dancer, and you're a gentleman of means or fame or something like that, like an NBA player or a singer or a politician's kid, wear the prophylactic. It protects from disease and, of course, from having a little baby girl. From the champagne room, meeting my new baby mama. I'm Velo Hool, strippers on the loose, Sterling, every damn night.
Sterling, Sterling, every damn night.
Woo!
Yeah, that's right.
Sterling, every damn night.
Hey! All right, it's 24 past the hour. Did you watch this, The White Lotus, HBO show, The White Lotus? The first season, it was really good. The second season, it was really good. This season, it was like a travelogue for their location. Why have I forgotten their location? A travelogue for their location. Very beautiful. It all looks very nice in Thailand. And it's, what is it, 8 episodes. They could have put it all into one episode. Everything that happened, nothing happened. Like, nothing happened. And they had huge stars. They had Bertha from The Gilded Age. And they had Cary Grant, who also was a Star Trek captain. They had those two actors. He just walked around stoned the whole show. That's all he did. He walked around in a Hawaiian shirt stoned because he was stoned. And she just was yelling. It was terrible. I mean, what the hell happened? All right, listen, this is Radio Geek time. In my opinion, the best disc jockey, just indulge me here, the best disc jockey who ever lived for decades in New York. He was brilliant. A man named Frankie Crocker. Just listen to this.
Either way, now my mind is all busted. That's a fool's price to pay. You made it sound so convincing when you said you'd never, never go away. I should have never listened to anything you had to say. I'm such a silly, 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 silly fool, am I? Yes, I am. I'm such a silly, 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 silly fool, am I?
Dustin Springfield, brand new sound in town. Silly, silly fool. The hip sound in town. Fast Mike in the city at 13 past 6.
WMCA.
Where the hits keep happening.
Jackson 5 hits out of the top 25. Former sound of 1. Hey, baby, I want you back. WMCA in New York. A member of the Strauss Broadcasting Group. Young children up to the microphone. Straighten your tie, fix your collar. Let me fight back eyebrows there. Give me some lyrical uh-huhs and make that good money.
He got a lot done there. He got an awful lot done. But he did something really interesting. So he was on big urban stations, big top 40 stations. And he was always the program director. He was always in charge. And every day, he did something that no one ever noticed. I mean, people noticed, but no one ever asked him about. But I got a little intelligence, and I was like, really, he did that, didn't he? It wasn't my imagination. Here we go. It's coming. Every day in one of the segues where he played a bunch of songs back to back to back, right? Just throwing in top 40, with the urban songs, he always played a Glenn Miller song. Once a day, he played a Glenn Miller song. And he was asked, Frankie, why do you play a Glenn Miller song, like, almost every day? And he said, because they're perfect.
never, never happy till you're really, really, really happy in love. Nothing on earth can give you that feeling. You may be silly, silly, sappy, but oh, baby, baby, you're so happy in love. To know it, you'd like to get up on the highest steeple, shout to people, happy in love, the sky is your ceiling. You lucky, lucky, lucky chappy, it's great to be living when you're happy in love.
Sterling every damn Sunday.
And this is Florida Story. Oh, thank you. For our first Florida Story, we're going to Fort Lauderdale. The headline's kind of misleading. It sounds like someone's stealing roosters. But there's a little more to it than that. Local 10 has the report.
There they go.
Lynn Morgan loves her neighborhood roosters.
Come on.
She loves them so much, she has names for them.
First one that he took, I called Arnie.
It's why she and her neighbors got worried when some started to suddenly vanish.
All right, hang on. Let me go ahead and stop and interrupt here. This flock of chickens, as they're described when you look at the video, yeah, there's a few chickens in there, but there's also like pheasants and a whole bunch of pigeons in there. A few other birds that I don't recognize and I'm too lazy to look up. But the story never says who they belong to throughout this whole thing. So I guess if enough of you and your neighbors start throwing bird feed out in your yard, you're going to develop like this flock of a wide array of deadbeat birds that go from yard to yard. Look, some of them are chickens, but it's just kind of this mutant group of all kinds of birds. Really weird. But the point is, some of those are obviously wild birds. So if these are feral chickens and they don't belong to anybody, can they even be stolen? Anyway, we continue.
This is cell phone video one neighbor recently recorded of a man they believe is the culprit.
They always have a bait rooster with them. They let them fight for a little bit until they tire out, and then they just go over, pick them both up, and take them away.
What are you trying to do with them?
Morgan says when she confronted a man trying to grab one of the birds a few days ago, she was threatened.
We'll be back to get your roosters, and I don't care how old you are, we'll be back to get you as well. And then they threw water bottles at me.
Residents in the South Middle River neighborhood think they know what the roosters are being snatched for.
I know there is a cockfighting ring somewhere in this neighborhood.
Yeah, okay, so something else you learned on today's Florida Stories. A new technique for the next time you have to catch a feral rooster. Using the bait chicken or a bait rooster. So you let the rooster tire himself out. Brilliant move. And of course, there's a cockfighting ring. What do you think? They're collecting lunch?
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida Story, we're going to Titusville, Florida. A Florida man in his 30s likes to set fires in his yard, and the neighbors don't like it. It's not up to code. They usually don't want to bug him because he's been in and out of jail before. He's got a record. He doesn't look like he's very fun to confront. But it's a problem because sometimes the fires spill over into the sidewalk, sometimes even in the street. And so the cops have been to his house 5 different times to tell him you can't be making these gigantic fires in your front yard. You live in the city. You don't live in the country. So on the 6th trip out there, the cops pull up on the street and they can't even get through the street because across the entirety of 26th Avenue
He has 4 foot high flames. So the guy's easy to track down because he's in the front porch watching his work, just loving it. So the cops go and confront him. And in the police report, they say he is wielding a sword. He has a big knife that is in his belt. And in his other hand, he's got a half gallon size Captain Morgan spiced rum. While he's communicating with officers, while they're talking to him, telling him you got to stop this and you're being charged with a crime and all that, he is drinking the Captain Morgan spiced rum straight, just taking big old swigs of it like it's a Dr. Pepper. So the cops get him to drop the sword. They get him to drop his knife. He didn't have a good answer to why the fire's in the roadway. So finally, they have to take him in. They arrest him. They take him down to the Titusville Police Department. And while he's in a holding cell, yeah, it doesn't end there. This is Florida. While he's in his holding cell, he intentionally broke off a fire sprinkler head, causing the water to flood the cell and the booking room. So he had to be transferred to county. All kinds of fun charges are ensuing there. Oh, and the motive. Why did he do it? Florida. That's why.
Wait, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Pasco County, where a 52-year-old Florida man has an eye for one of the girls that lives in this family home in a nice neighborhood. So in the middle of the night, about 2 in the morning, he goes to their garage and he pulls it up. Oh, it's not locked. So then he jimmies the lock to get from the garage into the house proper. And he goes to the doorway of the girl. I don't know how old she is. I just know she's a minor and she was asleep. And dad actually has surveillance cameras in a couple places in the house. It shows him in the hallway with his hands in his shorts for about 3 minutes standing in the doorway until the dog notices and barks and starts waking people up. And so he runs off. Cops take the video. They put it on Facebook and other social media outlets. And immediately they get some hits back. So first the deputies get a call from Florida man's sister. Yeah, that's my brother with his hands in his shorts on the surveillance video. Then his employer calls. Yeah, I recognize that guy. That's one of my employees. Yeah, the guy with the hand in his shorts. And just for some extra Florida spice, they get another positive identification on the 52-year-old Florida man from his girlfriend, which I assume they've broken up by now.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we are going to an isolated, desolate, uninhabited beach in the middle of nowhere, Florida. And this probably doesn't happen so much if you live in Maine or Rhode Island, but if you live in Florida, drugs just wash up on the beach all the time. 770 pounds of high-grade marijuana washed up on this beach. The sheriffs go out there and they pick it up and then they do something fun with it. They make a Facebook post offering to return $2 million worth of marijuana to its rightful owner. And as a reward, the incentive, if you come claim your $2 million worth of marijuana, they promise you a free, all expense paid staycation at the county lockup. The Facebook post has gone viral. But what if this happens in a state where marijuana is fully legal? Like you just get to keep the free weed, finders keepers? Well, they need to do that in Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Indian River County where there's a horse stable. And next to that is a welding shop and they kind of share a parking lot. One day, the lady working at the horse barn was checking on her horses and one had some unusual marks around its neck. She thought that was odd. And then it happened again a couple weeks later. It looks like someone had there was a bungee cord in the stall. So then she puts up a trail camera, you know, like a game camera that you stick out in the woods to see if deer are coming by or whatever. So we don't have video of it, but we have still shots. And sure enough, a few days later, this guy that works at the welding shop next door parked his truck there. And then late at night, he comes in at about 11 o'clock. We have a still shot of him walking right by the camera. We actually have a still shot of him getting behind the horse. We have a still shot of his pants down. And then he leaves. Little after 12, he comes back in there. We have the game camera again. This time he's not wearing a shirt, but he walks right past the game camera, gets behind the horse. We see his pants down around his ankles, and then he leaves. Just a little after 2 in the morning. Look, and this is on a Wednesday night going into Thursday morning. He walks past the game camera again, gets behind the horse three times. When is he going to learn that nay means nay? For our last Florida story, we're going to OIA, Orlando International Airport, where something like Gone in 60 Seconds happened. There's 4 cars stolen pretty much at the same time. 2 Dodge Chargers, a Dodge Challenger, and a Jeep Grand Cherokee. But what's the one thing they all had in common? All 4 of them had the beloved Hellcat engine. If you know something about cars, it's a 6.2 liter, 707 horsepower. You already know this stuff. Hellcat V8 engine. If you don't know anything about cars, all you need to know is that people who do know stuff about cars think that's really, really awesome. So apparently there's a black market for parts on Hellcat engines or something to that effect. And they went out and they did some scheme like a movie where they go in there and the theme music's playing and they have a cool funky vibe. And there's always like the wacky guy and the pretty girl and the head dude and the love interest, and stole four of them at about the same time.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What
is it? Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere. A gentle breeze tickled Leora's bare skin as she stood at the edge of the pond. She was unclothed, save for the two silver bracelets always clamped around her wrists. Crouching down, she trailed her fingers over the surface of the sparkling pool. It was warm, though not too warm, and so clear she could see straight down to the bottom. Without giving it a second thought, she dove in head first. The water crashing against her body felt so refreshing, so real. She could almost convince herself it was more than an illusion she'd crafted. When she came up for air, she swam toward the waterfall to take a closer look at the scene she had created. The pool was shallower in the recession behind the tumbling spray, and she stood up in the waist-deep water. The reminder she was expecting company cut her exploration short. She crossed through the waterfall again and saw Stephen waiting for her at their favorite stone. Feeling his ardent stare lock onto her exposed figure, she beamed at him, issuing a wordless invitation to join her. Before he responded, she immersed herself in the water once more, savoring the freeing feeling of weightless suspension. Upon resurfacing, she flipped over and floated on her back as he kicked off his shoes and socks. He shed the rest of his clothing, and she caught her first view of his naked form, presented only for her enjoyment. His slate-gray eyes that had previously captivated her could no longer hold her attention as she had the opportunity to study him in full at last. His body was slim, though the lines of the muscular definition in his arms and shoulders were apparent to her, even from several yards away. Chocolate curls dotted his firm chest, descending into a narrow trail across his stomach. Whereas she hadn't hesitated to plunge into the water, he exhibited more caution. He slowly slid off the rock and slipped underwater, slicking his hair back from his eyes when he came back up. Leora noted his awkward splashing in the deeper end of the pond and led the way back to the waterfall. Stephen appeared to be far more comfortable when he found his footing on the bottom of the pool. Their visual exploration of each other paved the way toward physical interaction, and he waded closer to her. The energy and vigor with which he kissed her was enough to make her knees grow weak, and she clutched at him for support. His hand wandered down her back to hold her against him. The contact of his dampened skin along the entire line of her body sent a heady rush of heat spreading throughout her. As if remembering what had elicited her prior reactions, his lips moved away from her mouth. His tender kisses covered her neck, her shoulders, and her chest. But before he made any further progress, he pulled back. Instead of protesting, as was her initial response, Leora let her touch speak for her. She reached up to caress the side of his head, trailing her fingers through his hair, and hoped it would be enough to express how much she wanted, needed to experience more of him. In one swift movement, his arms slipped below the surface of the water, and he picked her up. She swallowed back a squeal of surprise as he carried her through the waterfall into the hollowed cave beyond. The slippery stones were cool underneath her when he lifted her out of the pool and placed her on its rim. She couldn't bear to be apart from him for another moment, and she slid a hand around the back of his neck to bring his tempting, moistened lips closer to her own. Stephen indulged her for a little longer before making his way down the expanse of her milky skin, and her back arched. When he stroked the inside of her thigh, her legs parted to allow him better access. Oh, I should probably stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Music director Lee Harris, technical wizard Dave Scalish, operations Frank Canal, sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres, voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brook and Matus Bumball, Baked Goods Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Quantum Physics Dave Scott, a Canadian, Ross Coulthart, an Australian, Skullduggery Vic Ferrari, Blessings Father James Drucker, Meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser, Writer Jerry the Writer, Business Guidance Craig Kitchen, Program originated by Chris Olivero. Long-suffering executives David Yadgroff and Greg Stalker. With respect, Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard. A great way to